everybody. Happy Thursday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FCM right here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany riding solo here with you today. Always appreciate you guys hanging out if you're watching on Game Plus Network. We love to have you over on our FTN Network YouTube page. We have lots of great content happening. Football season, draft season is absolutely here. We got some new exciting shows happening over at FTN at YouTube page as well. We're going to have some prize pick shows. We're going to have an MLB betting show just around the corner as well. Lots of great stuff over there. Of course, if you're hanging out live, you know all about our FTN Network YouTube page. Smash the like button. You have any comments, any questions, you can leave them there. See some people hanging out already in the chat. Absolutely love that. Any questions that you have, things you'd like to see on this show, leave them there in the comment section. The show also available on iTunes and Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to your favorite podcast. Lots to get to here today. We are going to break down Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the New York Rangers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Rangers went up 2-0. Looked like they were going to maybe potentially take the lead in Game 3. Well, like, they had the lead at one moment, and then they gave it up. And then Tampa, all of a sudden, the series is tied at 2. It's looking like Braden Point potentially could return, make his Eastern Conference debut. I know he's played in a couple before. He's been fantastic over the past couple playoff runs for the Lightning. And then we have Filip Hurdle, who is a game-time decision. We have Ryan Strome, who is a game-time decision. So, man, things are not trending in the right direction for the New York Rangers. We're going to break down that game tonight, and I have some NHL picks and some props for you as well. Of course, the FTN Bet Tracker, you get all the NHL picks, MLB picks, NBA picks. You got football props, futures already in the FTN Bet Tracker, PGA picks, get the US Open next week. We didn't really talk about the LIV and the PGA. Maybe we'll save that for another day. Like, guys are just going all... Like, Tiger Woods really turned down $900 million? Like, wow. I understand that he doesn't need any money and he wants to protect his legacy and he's going for records in the PGA Tour. I get all that. But my goodness, that's a lot of cash. It's not blood money, but it's a lot of cash, right? We've seen some guys like DJ hop on over there making more money, I believe, than Tiger has made on the PGA Tour and wins over the course of his career. Of course, Phil Mickelson's over there. We saw some guys, Kevin Na went over there. Saw some crazy interviews from Poulter and Lee Westwood. Ricky Fowler wants to jump over. Hey, maybe Ricky will win over there. Maybe he'll get a W, right? Because he can't get it done on the PGA Tour. That's all I got to say about that for now. We'll dive into it as like players seem to filter over. Bryson now, Patrick Reed, right? Is that a huge loss for the PGA Tour? I don't know. It's cool to have the competitiveness. I do like the setup over at LIV. What, $2 million, $25 million purse for the opening tournament and $2 million to the winner? Like, you don't see that sort of stuff on the PGA Tour, that's for sure. But like I said, maybe we'll get a golf expert to come in here and talk about a little bit more about that. Today, it is just going to be Game 5. Between the Lightning and the Bolts. We are going to have some MLB picks and some MLB props for you a little bit later on. You see the odds there, the total at 5.5 at pointsbet.ca. I have a link inside the description of this video. Dangle Betselli is live over at FTN Network YouTube page. 46 minutes. If you want a deep dive on tonight's game, Eric Young and myself, we have that taken care of for you. Yeah, that's proper grammar, correct? All I know is that Dangle Betselli is already recorded. It's live. You can go back and watch it, or you can watch it right here on Game Plus Network at 5 Eastern. And we have some exciting guests lined up, some great hockey minds in the Stanley Cup Finals. We're going to dive into a little bit towards the end of the Finals, into like dynasty rankings, some buy lows, some sell highs, you know, guys that we feel are going to rise up, you know, draft boards next year in the offseason. We'll take a look at some of the unrestricted free agents. You know, the Bruins could look a lot different. They fire Bruce Cassidy. There's some reports that they could trade David Pastrnak. That's not going to happen. Patrice Bergeron, though, is a UFA. I still think he has a whole lot to offer. But it would be certainly weird to see him in a new jersey, or he could just maybe straight up retire. I know he's dealt with some injuries over the past couple of years, and he's accomplished a lot as an NHL player. His resume is absolutely lit, and then Brad Marchand is going to miss the first couple months of the season, so the Bruins could look very different. But how about the expectations? I kind of getting sidetracked here a little bit, but the expectations in Boston, pretty high. I mean, Bruce Cassidy has had a lot of success with the Bruins, multiple playoff round wins. Does he have a Stanley Cup with them? I don't think he does. But then it just goes to show, like, the expectations for a team like Boston, who can't get out of the first round 1 year, couple years. Bruce Cassidy, done, fired. All the success that they have had with him behind the bench, he's done a great job. And then you have the Leafs. It's like, ah, you know, we'll run it back. Sheldon Keefe, it's okay. We'll give you another pass. You got respect in the handshake. We'll keep you around for another year. It's just one organization, how they go about their business, and another one in how they go about their business in the Boston Bruins and two original six franchises. It just, you know, I don't know. That's all I'll say about that. We do have some MLB picks and some props. We rode the Boston Red Sox yesterday. It wasn't all good on the show yesterday. We did have Story and JD Martinez for over 1.5 total bases. We didn't get that. But of course, we had the Red Sox. They took care of business in the bet tracker. I'm going to talk about Nick Pivetta a little bit later on today. He is scheduled to go toe-to-toe with Shohei Ohtani. When Ohtani was on the hill, it used to be Ohtani Day, Shohei Day. Well, today it's Shane McClanahan Day. We love Shane McClanahan, so we'll talk about him a little bit later on. He is leading baseball in strikeout percentage, swinging strike percentage. His K per nine is the second highest in the game. This is what I mean. I shed tears of joy seeing Patrick Reed leave. Yeah, does anybody really care that Patrick Reed is off the tour? I mean, no, I don't really. I think people are like, okay, finally, this guy is off the tour. I think the same sort of deal with Bryson, but he's a little bit more. People do like to see Bryson with the long bombs, right? He talks a lot of crap. He can't putt. He putts like this with the big shoulders. But he can bomb drives, and people like the long ball. They really do. I get that. But for Shane McClanahan, K percentage, number one. Swinging strike percentage, number one. K per nine, number two. And we gave a future on this show for him to win the Cy Young at 20-1. He's now 6-1 to win the Cy Young. I still think there's a little bit of value there with Shane McClanahan. He has a tough matchup today against the St. Louis Cardinals, who don't really strike out. They're in the bottom four or five in strikeouts against Southpaws. It's Shane McClanahan Day, so you know what we're doing a little bit later on the show. We will continue to pick on the Halos, by the way. A 14-game losing streak for the Angels. They just keep on losing. Two runs or fewer in 7 of their last 9 games. I got some ranks here for you, but I tweeted it out. They're basically bottom 3 in every single offensive category during this skid. They were 2.5 games back of the Astros before the 14-game losing streak. They're now 9.5 games back of the Astros in the AL West. They had a 3.5 game lead in the wild card, the top spot in the AL wild card. Now they're 3.5 back. If you're looking at positives, they've lost 14 straight games, and they're only 3.5 games back of the wild card. Yes, they played over top, like, they overachieved in the first month of the season. Now, the lineup is good. They can score some runs. Maybe the pitching is not as great. Now, obviously, underachieving. So they're somewhere in between. If they can hover around 500 until the MLB trade deadline, maybe they'll hang around. But it's the usual things that have happened with this team. David Fletcher is hurt. Anthony Rendon, right? You had one brutal contract in Pujols, and you had another one in Justin Upton. Now it looks like you got another one in Anthony Rendon, who was just really starting to get into a bit of a groove. The offense was rolling. And now, you know, he's been out with a wrist injury. Trout didn't play last night. It looks like they dodged a bullet, and the groin injury is not significant, but he hasn't played here. He didn't play last night. I don't know if he suits up tonight. You got other injuries up and down the roster as well. Taylor Ward, you know, who's playing a little bit over his head, but playing really good, leading off for the Halos, and now he's on the IL too. So when it rains, it pours, and it's certainly pouring in Anaheim. And I think, you know, it really doesn't rain in Anaheim, but June, I hear June is like a little bit of a rainy month for them, and it is raining at Angel Stadium, as it is Shohei and Nick Pivetta toe-to-toe. We won't talk any basketball, but we do want to pump our tires just a little bit and give some love to the FTN Daily Prize Picks free pick tracker. We did nail both of these picks yesterday. Steph Curry, 4.5 threes. We got that pretty early. There was a moment where he just had 4 threes in the third quarter. He ended up 6-for-11 from beyond the arc. He had 31 points. He had a fantastic game. And we talked about as well, Klay Thompson. It was only a matter of time before, you know, he started to get going again. He had a really strong game yesterday as well. He had 5 trays. I believe he cruised past his point prop at 18.5. He was 21 points or something like that. And then on the other side, we talked about Jason Tatum. Certainly I talked about Jason Tatum with the assist prop at 5.5, averaging over 7 assists in victories Boston victories. We expected the Celtics to roll on home court yesterday. We had them at 3.5, and they did win 3.5. We were starting to get a little bit of a close game. We wanted a close game. It was a double-digit lead for a long time. Golden State has been really good in the third quarter of the entire playoffs, and especially in this round. They started to get back into the game. I think they were like down one or two at one point, and then Boston kind of just took over. But we had a bounce-back performance from Marcus Smart. Jaylen Brown had a really strong performance. And then Jason Tatum had 26 points, and he contributed with 9 assists. So keep an eye on that, the Tatum assist prop. If you feel like the Celtics are going to roll in games, you know, he has been distributing the ball, and the dimes have been there. So not bad, 2 for 2. We'll try our luck again tomorrow, which will be game 4. And I do expect the Warriors to kind of bounce back. And I'm seeing right now 4.5 for Boston. I do expect this series to go 7. It was the what I thought at the start of the series, that we would see a 7-game series. And we can't count out the Golden State Warriors just yet. We can't count them out just yet. But they're going to need contributions from other guys besides Clay, right? They're going to need something from Draymond. I know he's not going to give them a whole lot offensively. They're going to need Jordan Poole to get clicking. And you're going to need to see Andrew Wiggins, that you saw in the Western Conference Finals against the Mavs. He's just been a little so-so to start, but it was good last night. There was good. It was been a lot of blowouts, but it was exciting, at least in the third quarter. It was a little bit of back and forth, and Steph certainly caught fire. It was fun to watch. We'll break. We also will get to and more NFL previews. Yesterday, we did the Rams, the defending Stanley Cup. My goodness, we got the 2-time defending Stanley Cup champion Lightning on the schedule tonight. But we talked about the Rams yesterday. It was our first NFL preview. We looked at them from a betting standpoint, looked at some of their fantasy football targets. Today, we will take a look at the San Francisco 49ers. Yes, bats. Love it. A lot of 49ers talk on this show towards the end of Mean Streets. Keeper Lock, we'll be back here in just a couple. Welcome back in Mean Streets, live on Game Plus Network here on our FTN Network YouTube page. Surely not Kyle hanging out with us, a little bit of golf content. I think he's here for the hockey content. I've certainly missed you guys breaking down some of the NHL picks. We're winding down. There's only a few more games to give NHL picks and props. We're hovering around the 82 unit mark over at ftnbets.com. Hopefully we can finish strong here. Game 5 happening this evening at MSG between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the New York Rangers. You guys know how this series has gone. The Rangers took care of business on home ice, won game 1 and game 2, largely in part of Igor Shesterkin. Honestly, the 5-5 numbers were heavily in favor of the Tampa Bay Lightning throughout those first two games. Special teams has been the key for the Rangers all season long and here throughout the playoffs. And then the Lightning took care of business on home ice, won each of the last two games pretty easily. I know the score, the box score in game 3 maybe looked a little tight, but not so much, I thought, in game 4. You know, there was a moment, probably a stretch throughout the second period where the Rangers started to feel, I felt like they were starting to get a little bit of momentum going at 5-5, but ultimately it's been the 5-5 play has been heavily in favor of Tampa. It really has. Like, for example, overall, this is from our friends over at Natural Stat Trick. The shot attempts, 211 for Tampa, 166 for the Rangers. The shots, 116-93 in favor of Tampa. They have 61% of the expected goals. These are all 5-5 from Natural Stat Trick. The scoring chances, 120-83. The high danger chances, 54-32. Over the last two games, and I know this game is happening at MSG, and I understand that Igor Shesterkin's been much, much better on home ice. He's 8-2. One game he got pulled, and give him the loss if you want. 8-3. The high danger chances over the last two games at 5-5, these are shot attempts in the slot where a majority of the goals happen in the NHL. 28 for Tampa and just 11 for the Lightning. Just 11. They've had 14. They had 14 in game 3. They had 14 in game 4. The expected goals in the last game, 62% for Tampa. Game 3, 63%. Game 2, 57%. Game 1, 56%. They've been the better team 5-5. I would love to see the underdog take out Tampa. I would love to see it. I'm here to defend the Rangers against the well, knowing Lightning fan Chris Meany. I am not a Lightning fan. I don't want to see them win the cup again. Enough is enough. Are you kidding me? Like, no way. I don't want to see it. It broke my heart last year when they took care of the Habs. I would love to see the Rangers take care of business tonight and win this series and get to the Stanley Cup Finals. I would love to see it. I am all about the upsets in the NHL. And it may not seem like that when I come in here and I say, oh, Tampa's going to win the series in seven. I like Colorado to take care of the Edmonton Oilers pretty easily. I'm in for upsets. I had a couple, not that they were correct. I had a couple that I thought would happen throughout the playoffs, like maybe the Flames going to the third round, the Avs maybe losing that series, didn't even get to see that. I had the Florida Panthers over the Lightning, didn't get to see that as well. I am not a straight up chalk donkey here, surely not, Kyle. I know you're joking around a little bit here, but I mean, if there's a W here in the next couple of games, it would be at home, on home ice. MSG, the building is going to be rocking. You got Shesterkin's numbers on home ice. He was much better at MSG this season in the regular season than on the road. You know, he's had some moments on the road. He's been pulled a couple times. Certainly some moments in the opening round series against the Penguins. He was yanked twice in that series. It's just the 5-on-5 play. And now there's added elements here. It sounds like Braden Point is going to return. I'm shocked that he could return. He's not yet ruled out. He's close. I don't really think they need to force it, considering it is just game five. If they lose, they go back home, and then maybe you can play him. Or if they win tonight, then you can just give him another extra 5 to 7 days off, maybe just play him in game seven. But also on the other side, Hedl is a game-time decision. Ryan Strome is a game-time decision. These are key players. Like, the kid line has been really good for the Rangers at 5-5 when they're not really getting a whole lot of offense at 5-5 apart from that top line. Mika Zibanejad's been fantastic. Chris Kreider's been really good. And Frank Vatrano's been really good on top up on that top line as well at 5-5. But ultimately, this is just giving you the numbers, surely not, Kyle. And watching it myself, I'm not going to lie, a couple games I listened to on the radio during my trip, but it was a lot of Tampa. It was a lot of Tampa taking over. I like the Lightning and the under. If you can find the under 5.5, I would go with that. It's just really hard for me not to back this Tampa team right now. Rangers had them. They had them up 2-0 in the series. They had a lead in game three. They had them. They had the champs. Backs against the wall. Up against the ropes. They had them. And they kind of let it slip. Yes, I would love to see New York win this game, but I am backing the Bolts here. And I think the under is the play with just how well Shesterkin has played at home and how well Vasilevskiy has played over the last couple of games, right? You start to hear the noise like, oh, the Rangers have figured him out. Oh, it's just shoot blocker. And then they can't get anything by him, right? They really didn't have that many quality scoring chances in game four besides when they were on the power play. So I am leaning here with Tampa. I do have some shot props and some picks that I want to share with you guys. They're live over at ftnbets.com. So a couple things for Nikita Kucherov here. You know, at plus 175 to have a two-point night, even though I like the under 5.5, I'm going to take a shot on that every time, right? It's Kucherov and potential Braden Point coming back here. I'm really intrigued with the plus 175 over 1.5 points. So last night in the bet tracker, I put in Nikita Kucherov at over 3.5 shots at plus 140 and is now plus 120, plus 125. So I just wanted to give a little bit of love to FTN Alerts on the Twitter machine. You get notified right away when anybody makes a bet. If you follow that account, maybe you turn your notifications on, you say, oh, wait, you know, Chris just made a bet in the NHL. Josh Gross just made a bet in baseball, MLB Dream baseball, Josh Gross tennis. Like, you get notified right away, so you get those best possible odds. And we try to be very active in the Discord channel as well. Hey, guys, I'm jumping in on Nikita Kucherov right now, 3.5 shots, plus 140. This may not be there tomorrow. So, and it isn't today. It's not there. Like I said, you can get plus 125. But for Nikita Kucherov, he has a team-high 31 shot attempts and 18 shots in the four games in this series. He leads all forwards in ice time, including forwards on the Rangers. 85-43 is what he's played. He's cleared this number in three of the four games. 7 shots in game one, 2 shots in game two. He did have 5 shot attempts, so he's kind of right there, just didn't put pucks on net. 5 shots in game three, and then 4 shots the last time out. That was a two-unit play for me at plus 140. I still like it. It's my favorite play on the board when it comes to shot props. My second favorite play, as you see, is Mika Zibanejad. So last night we put this in the bet tracker at minus 130, 2.5 shots from DraftKings Sportsbook. It's still kind of hanging around this number, but Mika Zibanejad He leads New York with 3 goals, 5 points, 19 shots, 13 scoring chances. He has a team-high 1.78 expected goals for at 5-5 in this series. He has 25 shot attempts, which are just 3 behind the team lead. Believe it or not, it is Jacob Trouba who you saw on that board as well. More on him in just a little bit. But Mika's got 5 shots in back-to-back games. He had 7 in game 1, so he's cleared this number pretty easily in 3 of the 4 games against Tampa. He also has at least 2 shots in every game of these playoffs, so he's been right there at this number, which other guys are just for the Rangers haven't been this consistent for shots. Do you go with Panarin, who just kind of flirts with 2 and 1, and he's been really quiet in the playoffs, and he's more of a pass first guy. Vetrano sometimes has the 3 or 4. Kopp can always, 3 or 4 here and there, but I think he needs Strome on that line to kind of get going. And then you have Kreider. It looks like, if I'm going to attack Kreider, it would be at home because they're going to get the matchups that they want. But Mika's just been the most consistent, and I think he's in play for a point as well. He has 7 goals in his last 6 games against the Rangers and 24 points in 18 games here in the playoffs. So over 2.5 shots for Mika, over 3.5 for Nikita Kucherov. And then we get into some lesser known guys here. Andre Palat is a little juiced up, but over at FanDuel, you can take guys for 1.5. So Andre Palat over 1.5 shots, Anthony Cirelli over 1.5 shots, and Jacob Trouba over 1.5 shots. I would like that alone as a little bit of a parlay. Maybe you want to do Palat and Trouba. I will say this. If Brayden Point suits up tonight, you probably want to cross off Anthony Cirelli off your list. I mean, he's been playing up on that top line with Palat and with Kucherov, and I would expect Brayden Point to slot into that top spot. I'm not going to get involved with the shot props and stuff. You never know if he's going to suffer a setback, and he could, it could be one shift or two, and then all of a sudden he's out, and you just get caught up. So if that were to happen, though, Point would be on that top line. I'm speculating, but Point would be on that top line. I'd say Cirelli drops to that second line, plays a little bit with Stammer, and then you get Nick Paul in that third line if you want, right? Paul has benefited here with Point out. Perry has benefited with Point out, certainly on that top power play. He gets time on that top power play with Point out, and then Cirelli has benefited as well. This is just a little bit of a sneak peek of what the FTN Daily article will look like today. If you have the package, I wrote up Cirelli, and all of this may just be nothing if Point suits up. But I will say this about Cirelli and the 1.5 shot prop that I like. He led all Tampa Bay forwards in ice time in game 4. He played 20 minutes, 45 seconds. He had a team high 7 shot attempts, 4 high danger chances, and 4 shots. Cirelli also had 7 shot attempts, 4 shots, and 4 scoring chances in game 3. He ranks 3rd among Tampa forwards in this series in shot attempts with 23 and shots with 13 behind the studs, Kucherov and Stamkos. Cirelli is tied for the team lead in high danger chances with 8, and he's 2nd in scoring chances with 17 behind Stamkos. You can get Cirelli tonight, 1.5 shots. I mean, it is a little bit of juiced up. You can go over to prizepicks.com, get involved over there, or go to FanDuel and take Palat, Trouba, and Cirelli at 1.5 shots. And, you could take them at 2+ shots, right? Kind of worth your while over there. He's also plus 100 for a point. He's plus 200 for an assist. Those are some bets that I like if Brayden Point does not play tonight. It's just Cirelli's checking some boxes. He doesn't have a goal yet in this series. He's got 3 helpers, but the shot attempts are there. The high danger chances are there. Playing with a pass-first guy like Nikita Kucherov, it's all in play there for Anthony Cirelli. Keep an eye on him if Point does not suit up. I will circle back on this video on our YouTube section. Hey, guys, Point is out. Point is in. Get off this. Maybe jump on this. Same thing with the Rangers side of things. If Hedl's not going to play and Strom's not going to play, guys are going to have to step up. And it just means not only do they have to step up, but they're just going to get more ice time. You could see Alexi Lafreniere up on that top line, and that would benefit him. I'd be interested in his 1.5 shot prop if you can find that. Frank Vetrano is going to get a little bit more ice time. Guys are going to jump up in ice time if certain players are not going to play. You don't need me to tell you that. I'm not breaking any news here. But I will circle back before a puck drop to kind of hammer home those points once we hear news. I mean, those two guys for the Rangers are game time decisions, and it sounds like, according to reports out of Tampa, that Brayden Point could suit up here tonight. I don't know if he will. I'm leaning no, but who knows? He could. So there's a couple other guys there that I'm interested in. So Andre Palat, He's minus 105 for a point. That's over at DraftKings as well. He's had a very dangerous series. He's got 3 goals, 5 points, 10 shots in the 4 games. He has at least 1 point in 6 of his last 7 games, and he's had at least 2 shots on goal in 7 of his past 8. So we like the over 1.5. It's juiced as a single, but again, get into a parlay. I like him to hit the score sheet. Playing with Kucherov, like Kucherov for 2 points. If Kucherov gets 2 points, Palat's getting points as well. And he actually leads all players in this series with a 2.08 expected goal rate at all situations. And keep in mind, he's not on that first power play unit. It'd be even higher if he was on that first power play unit. And then there's Jacob Trouba. What am I doing telling you guys to put your hard-earned bucks on Jacob Trouba? Well, in game 3, Trouba led New York in shot attempts at 5-5. He had 5 shot attempts and 3 shots. That's significant, but he had 3 shots and 5 shot attempts. Led everybody on New York, 5-5. In game 4, all situations, he had a team-high 10 shot attempts and 7 shots. He's got 12 shots in the 4 games. He leads the Rangers in shot attempts. Jacob Trouba, in this series, leads the New York Rangers in shot attempts with 28. He's played 93 minutes, which is just behind Adam Fox, who clearly has more offensive upside than Jacob Trouba. Fox is on the number 1 power play unit. He just had an 8-game point streak snapped. He's been assist machine. He's going to log more ice time. Trouba's going to get some power play time on the second unit, but he's locking a lot of ice time himself as well. And he is just shooting the puck. So Jacob Trouba, 1.5 shots, and that's it. That's how we round it out. Kucherov over 3.5, 2-point night. Mika Zibanejad over 2.5. Palat over 1.5. Find the score sheet. Sorelli over 1.5 shots. If point isn't out, if point is out, and if point is out, maybe plus money for a point for Anthony Sorelli and the Jacob Trouba over 1.5 as well. There was a question from Shirley Not Kyle. How do you feel about point shot prop if he suits up? Yeah, I would just kind of stay away. I mean, it's going to be plus money. He may not even be available. He could be a game time decision. If the Lightning announced today, this afternoon, that Braden Point is going to play, it may pop up. I would guess it's 2.5 plus money. But honestly, it's pretty risky, dude, especially if you are a high roller. I don't know. I wouldn't suggest putting big bucks on Braden Point shot props. I like the guy quite a bit. I've bet on him plenty of times. We've talked about him a lot on this show. George doesn't like him because he seems to get burned every time he plays Braden Point. Braden Point's a really good player. It's just, you never know. Game shape, he's clearly not going to be in it. So he could suffer a setback at any moment. It could be like a fall. It could be a hit. And then boom, he's out of the lineup. I think it's pretty risky. In fact, I would probably take the under if I'm going to take anything, just in case. You just never, never know. He might not even be a full go tonight. I say that he's going to play on the top line, but he may just play every other shift on that top line. We'll see. 2 days ago, the guy couldn't even skate. And now he may suit up tonight. I don't know. Not sure about that one. Lightning in the under. That's it for NHL. We're going to break, and we got some MLB talk here next on Mean Streets. Keep it locked. What's going on? Welcome back in. All right, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball here. Shirley Not Kyle did say something over the break that is very true and something that George knows all about. Point is the king of only shooting 2 shots early and then disappearing. And a lot of his shots in that opening round against the Leafs did come on the power play. He was very quiet at 5-5, but he did have the highest expected goal for share in that series for the Lightning, rather. It was, you know, Matthews and company who led for the Leafs. It was a really strong first round for the Leafs. Of course, you just couldn't get by Vasilevskiy in the final couple games. But it was Braden Point who, you know, a lot of those shot attempts did come on the power play. And I don't really love that. That's why I always kind of share 5-5 numbers with you guys, is because if they're generating offense at 5-5, we just can't always bank on power plays. Like sometimes the refs just put their whistles away. They're not calling it. Like a hook in the regular season is just not a hook in the playoffs. It's silly. It should be. But it's just not. The officiating has been all over the place. It hasn't been great, to be honest, watching some of the things that I've seen. But Braden Point, maybe a guy that can get to 3 on the power play, but maybe not so much at 5-5. And who knows? Like, if he plays tonight, again, he could be one of those guys that just is just kind of hanging out and playing on the power play, like, or if the game gets tight. Joshua Frick, when are you guys going to include MMA on here, Meanie? Actually, very soon. I have a couple MMA guests lined up. I can't give you the advice myself. I just don't cover it. I mean, I watch. I know what's happening. I would just feel like a sucker giving you guys advice. I wouldn't feel comfortable. So, Joshua, I do have some MMA guests lined up. some that those at Anthem Sports Entertainment will be familiar with, and look for that soon. We will start to cover that, as especially now, and I apologize for not really covering it. We've done it a couple times, but you know, March was straight up madness. I mean, you had the madness, and you had NHL, NBA, you know, gearing up for MLB, you had, you know, NFL draft stuff. So all the sports were happening, and PGA season, you know, starting, and just, there was just so much. And now that those other sports have, when am I joining you for MMA? I mean, when do you want to, you know, now that the other sports like the NHL and the NBA are kind of cooling down, it's just Major League Baseball every day and you know, NFL draft prep. We will get into some other stuff like MMA and PGA things in there. So tonight, Halos and Red Sox yet again. Last night we talked about just kind of following a trend here with the Boston Red Sox. They squeaked one out last night, 1-0. It's their third straight win in this series, of course, against the Halos, who've lost 14 straight games. And Boston has 2-1 wins in this four-game set, which we'll wrap up here tonight. It is Nick Pivetta against Shohei Ohtani. Ohtani had a really good outing against the Red Sox earlier in the year, but Boston wasn't really hitting at that time. He had 6 scoreless, I believe, 11 strikeouts. The total is at 7.5. The Red Sox are actually dogs here. I'm just going to continue to ride this out. I mean, if I wasn't really around for about a week, I would have been putting in the Phillies, the Yankees, over the Angels, just riding this out. And it's not because I follow this team closely and I'm sour. It's because I follow this team closely and I see what I see. And that is just brutal, brutal defensive play in the field. Atrocious, almost from everybody. Mentioned it yesterday. Guys are losing balls in the light and double plays and just the same sort of thing yesterday. Nobody can hit and nobody can pitch. So during this 14-game losing streak for the Angels, I mentioned off the top of the show, they had they were 2.5 games back of the Astros in the AL West. They're now 9.5 back. Of course, Houston. I mean, you lose a couple games in a row and Houston just kind of takes off. That's not surprising. But they did have a 3-game lead atop the AL wildcard, and now they're 3.5 back. But during this 14-game losing streak, they have a 216 average, it ranks 27th. 266 WOBA, 29th. 595 OPS, 29th. 104 ISO, 29th. 72 WRC Plus, you guessed it, 29th. They have 9 homers, which ranks 25th. They have 1 homer in the month of June, and that's Mike Trout. I don't think he's going to play tonight. They have 40 runs scored, 29th. They're striking out 25% of the time, which is the third highest mark in the game. A 6.29 ERA for the starters, it ranks 27th, and a 5.37 ERA bullpen, 23rd, and a 6.04 ERA overall, which is the third worst in the game over this 14-game losing streak. So yes, they played over the top, overachieved in the first month of the season, but they're not this bad. But they're going through something right now. Rendon and Ward and Trout, these guys are not in the lineup. Ohtani's not really hitting. They're striking out. They're not getting the chucking from the starters. Detmers was pretty good yesterday, not going to lie. But they're not getting the pitching from the bullpen either. Iglesias has given up a couple bombs. They've blown some leads in the 8th and the 9th inning. I just think we continue to ride this out, guys. We can get the Red Sox here tonight. I got it in the bet tracker at plus 106. The Angels have scored 2 or 0 runs in 7 of their last 9 games. I think Ohtani could have a nice little start. Nick Pivetta has been pretty good as well. So Red Sox money line, the Braves, Max Fried on the hill. He's going up against the Pirates. Yesterday they crushed him. We had this yesterday is to win by 2. It's a little juice, minus 134, but I think that they take care of business. Braves are starting to cook again offensively, and they got their guy on the bump, and yeah, pretty good matchup here. And then Nick Pivetta over 5.5K. We'll get to Shane McClanahan in just a little bit. So there's actually a couple more Pivetta bets that I do like. So we'll start with just the 5.5 strikeout prop at minus 118. Now, if you go look at the back of the baseball card, this is not something he's done consistently. The last start he did, he had 7 punchouts, and then he was stuck on 5 a couple times. But just the fact that the Angels are striking out 25% of the time over this skid, and it's the third highest, I got to jump on board with this, right? I mean, they got some of the kids back in the lineup. Joe Odell is striking out a lot. He was sent down. Now he's back up because of some of the injuries. Brendan Marsh is struggling at the plate. And even if Mike Trout gets in, I mean, he's in a bit of a slump, and he's striking out quite a bit as well. So I don't love this lineup for the Halos. I like the over 5.5 for Nick Pivetta. I also have in the bet tracker 17.5 outs recorded at least, 18 outs. That just means he needs to go six innings here today. That's minus 115 over at DraftKings. He's completed at least six innings in six straight games. He's been really good over this run. He's plus 160 to record a win. Now, that could be tough going up against Shohei. If Shohei is, you know, going six innings and Nick Pavetta's going six innings and the Halos are not scoring runs and Shohei is in the game because, you know, he's pitching well, you may not get that win. Yesterday, we barely just got that win from Nate Eovaldi, and it wasn't this juicy. It was plus 120, I do believe, to record a win. And they only won 1-0. They got the run in the fifth before he got out of the game, and that was it. But for Nick Pavetta, he's allowed one or zero runs in five of his last six starts. He's allowed five hits or fewer in all of those six outings. And in nine of his 11 outings this season, it's been five hits or fewer. And this Halos team, like I said, they're just not hitting. They're not getting on base. They don't have a lot of power. They're striking out quite a bit. So I do believe Nick Pavetta could go six innings. If he goes six or he completes five, the win could be in play. But the over 5.5 strikeouts and the over 17.5 outs recorded, those are both bets that I like. And maybe if you want to put 0.25 units or something on Pavetta to record a win, there you go. As for Shane McClanahan, I mentioned off the top of the show that it is McClanahan Day. We love this guy. We have the Cy Young future in the bet tracker at 20-1. He's still 6-1. I think some pretty good value still for Shane McClanahan if you wanted to get involved there. Use a prop shop to get the best possible odds. It's free over at ftmbets.com. It's like Google search. Type in anything you want. Boom, right there. All the odds in your face. The Cards don't strike out a whole lot. In fact, they're in the bottom five in terms of strikeouts against southpaws. But this dude is just different. McClanahan has 89 strikeouts and 64 and a third innings. He's got a 12.45 K per nine, which is tops in baseball. He has at least six strikeouts in 10 of his last 11 starts. At least 6K in 10 of 11. So he's been right there at this number. His 36% strikeout rate ranks first, and his swinging strike percentage at 16.6 also ranks first. So he's getting a lot of swing and miss in his game. You could also get, I think if you wanted, and I don't suggest it, you could get 7.5 plus money. But I'm going with the 6.5 at minus 140. It's over at Caesars. That's kind of where I'm at. He's, like I said, he's been right at this number. And I think I read that wrong. I'm pretty sure, like, I'm just on the bats here today. And I'm pretty sure he's had at least seven strikeouts, not six. So let me just double check. I think my notes are wrong. This will make you feel a little bit better about Shane McClanahan. And it is. I was indeed correct. So let me backtrack. He's had at least seven strikeouts in 10 of his 11 starts. Seven. We need seven. It's no good for me to say that he's had six in 10 of his 11 starts because we need seven. And good thing he has had at least seven punchouts in every start but one. So yeah, tough matchup, but this guy's a beast. He is a beast. And you know what? I've seen the Cards strike out. There have been performances this season against mediocre pitchers where they have struck out. So Shane McClanahan, he's got some stuff, some swinging miss stuff, clearly leading the bigs with that swinging strike percentage, courtesy of Fangraphs. Let's take the over 6.5 strikeouts for Shane McClanahan. Good times there to wrap it up. Maybe we need Joshua Frick in here to host Mean Streets. I don't know. Maybe you know some baseball stuff and you can get it off your chest a little bit easier than I can. All right, another break. We are going to switch gears and we are going to talk a little football. We are going to get into the San Francisco 49ers, a bit of a team preview, take a look at their division odds, Super Bowl odds, and then we'll get into some of their fantasy football targets. We're going to talk a little Trey Lance, Elijah Mitchell, who was one of the best waiver wire pickups last year, got a ton of play, but the Niners drafted another running back in the third round. You know that they drafted a couple last year. I always feel a little hesitant to draft a running back when the team is stockpiling running backs every year in the draft. We'll talk about that. Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, all the weapons in San Fran. We also will go over round five of the NFFC ADP drafts that have happened over the last 5 to 6 weeks. High stakes leagues. Didn't get to it yesterday. Gonna get to it today. Lots more to get to here on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back in. Yesterday, we started our NFL team previews. We led with the defending Super Bowl champs, the Los Angeles Rams. You can go back and watch that on our FTN Network YouTube page. We have it kind of spliced together with the preview from a betting standpoint as well as some of their fantasy targets. And we'll do the same sort of thing here when it comes to the 49ers. So let's start here with the San Francisco 49ers. You have the win total at 9.5. They have the second best odds, shortest odds to win the NFC West at plus 190. I think we talked yesterday about the Rams at plus 145. I do believe NFC to win it is plus 750. The Super Bowl at 18-1. And then last year's record there at 10-7. So just looking at their team overall, they did lose some guys. You know, Raheem Mostert was a loss. Now, he didn't really suit up that much last year for the 49ers. He suffered an injury, I believe, week one, week two. Then we really started, we saw Elijah Mitchell, the show from Elijah Mitchell. We all thought, myself included, and a lot of people, let's be honest, Trey Sermon. We thought it would be Trey Sermon. He was drafted in the third round. Elijah Mitchell was taken in the sixth, but it was Elijah Mitchell, more on Mitchell in the next block. They did lose DJ Jones, who was a nice run stopper. He is now a member of the Denver Broncos. They lost some pieces on the offensive line as well, Tomlinson and Compton, and then Williams, cornerback, but they got Tre'Varius Ward, which is a nice little replacement there as well. This was a team that, you know, ran the ball really well. They actually threw the ball really well as well, even though Jimmy Garoppolo is not a quarterback that I do believe in. Offensively, they have a lot of weapons who are great after the catch. And we all know about Deebo Samuel, and most of his work last year actually came on the ground. He had more rushing touchdowns than receiving touchdowns. But this is a team that they weren't able to release Jimmy Garoppolo. They weren't able to trade him. They would have created about $25 million in cap space. They just weren't able to do that because of the injury. And then there has been some off-field stuff with Deebo Samuel. Of course, he wants a new contract. I don't think the guy wants to get, you know, 10 to 12 carries out of the backfield. I just don't think he wants to be treated that way. He doesn't want to be treated like a running back. If he wanted to be a running back, he'd be a running back. Like, he's a nice weapon and he can do that unbelievably. I mean, he's so skilled. He's amazing with the ball in his hands. But if the guy's going to take several shots game in and game out, pay him. That's probably what he's thinking. And at least that's what I think he's thinking, that he doesn't want to be used that way. And that's how Shanahan wants to use him. And I mean, good on Shanahan for everyone wants to find the next Deebo Samuel in the draft, right? Shanahan's a freak. I mean, the guy's still one of the best play callers in the game. And like I said, they have a lot of guys like Deebo, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, who are very explosive after the catch. And we saw a little bit of breakaway speed last year from Elijah Mitchell. I don't think that they win this division. As I said yesterday, I do believe that this is the Rams division to win. I actually like them to go back to the Super Bowl, whether they win or not, that remains to be seen. A lot of things need to A lot of things need to be basically perfect for you to win one, let alone two, right? Mentioned this yesterday with the Bucks. They brought the whole squad back and then the injuries piled up. They didn't have any injuries when they won and they have injuries year two. We could see that with the Rams. The Niners are a strong team. I do believe they're going to make the playoffs. I don't love the NFC overall. The division's gotten a little bit weaker, right? With the Seahawks giving up everybody. Who knows if DK Metcalf even, you know, plays this year. He's holding out. He's on the last year. He needs a new contract, right? Is he going to get flipped? He could get flipped. He could get traded. They could trade Lockett. They could continue to try to just rebuild. And there's a lot of question marks in Arizona, right? No Hopkins for the first 6 weeks of the season, six games. He suspended PED use. Kyler's took a bit of a step back last year. There's a lot of question marks inside the division, and the NFC overall as a whole is not great. But as we did yesterday, let's kind of roll through this as well and just get some of the wins. So week one, Chicago at Chicago. That's a W. We'll give them a win. There's one. Week two, Seattle. There's another win. They're at home. Week three is where they get their first loss at Denver. There's a loss. I gave them one win against the Rams, so we'll give them week four as well. So they're 3-1 here after 4 weeks. Carolina, there's another win. Atlanta, there's another win. They play KC at home. There's a loss. So off to a pretty good start here, 5-2. And then they got the Rams in LA week eight before the bye. I give them a loss there. They come out of the bye and they play the Chargers. I give them another loss. I think they beat Arizona. I say they beat the Saints in week 12. That wouldn't be close. It'd be tight to give them the edge because of home field advantage. And then I'm going to give them a loss here against Miami. Like, that one's another tight one. I do like the Dolphins. You know, we'll get into them obviously a little bit later on. Not today, but later on in the offseason. You got another loss there against Tampa, week 14. Then they bounce back week 15 in Seattle with a W. I'll give them the win against Washington. They go into Vegas. They lose that game and they wrap up with Arizona. I got to give them a split against Arizona. I can't give them both. That last one will be key. So I got them with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 wins. Kind of right around this number. Again, when you walk it out, jumping on the plane, but great show, Meanie Joshua Frick. Love you, dude. I give them 9 wins. The reason I'm a little hesitant on them is Trey Lance, right? This is going to be year one for him. We got a little bit of taste, but this is a full year one starter. I expect him to be the week one starter. Struggling with accuracy here in camp. He's not the most accurate quarterback. He likes to kind of tuck and run a little bit. He was really good in college, of course, but North Dakota State, like it's just not the same sort of deal, right? We saw Carson Wentz dominate at times there at South Dakota State, excuse me. And so, you know, I don't know. I'm not completely sold on Trey Lance. I think he could be a good fantasy asset, but ultimately I think he's the reason why they won't win the division. We'll take another break and we'll look at Trey Lance and some of their other fantasy targets here on Mean Streets. This will be a quick little preview. I am awful at timing. Everyone at Anthem Sports Entertainment knows that. Come on, wrap it up. Here's the fantasy targets for the San Francisco 49ers. Trey Lance, quarterback 15, ADP 101. As soon as he is named starter, week one starter, his ADP is absolutely going to rise. I love Trey Lance. I was completely wrong last year. I was all over him. I drafted him in certain spots, just didn't get the starts. He's getting the starts this year. They know what they have in Jimmy. He was the reason they couldn't get by. And you look at some of his games last year, only started a couple games, but you saw the upside. A start against Seattle, where he was just 9 for 18, 157 yards, but he tossed two touchdowns and he ran for 41 yards. He finished with 20 fantasy points. Another start against the Texans, 16 for 23, 69%, which was pretty good for him, but he still only tossed 249 and he had two touchdowns, but he had another 31 rushing yards. He finished with 19 fantasy points. There was an outing against Arizona where he was 15 for 29 with 192 yards and zero TDs and one pick, but he ran for 89 rushing yards and he finished with 14 fantasy points. So basically three starts from the guy and he had 20 fantasy points, 14.5, and then 19. The upside is completely there with Trey Lance. You got the nice rushing floor. You got Kyle Shanahan moving up to get this guy. There's going to be concerns with his accuracy. That's going to be on full display. And it really is. I mean, he's got a bullet of a pass. He needs to kind of settle down a little bit. But he's got pass catchers in the offense that are extremely explosive, a nice run game, and the brilliantness of Shanahan play calling. So I am in on Trey Lance. I think he's going to be a top 10 quarterback in fantasy. I like where he's going. You're drafting now, you get the discount. What I will say about Elijah Mitchell, he finished his RB 25 and a half point setting, but he finished his RB 11 from a fantasy points per game standpoint. Down the stretch, 27 carries, 27, 22, 21, 21. Not going to be a guy that catches a lot of balls into the backfield, but even though they did draft Davis Price in the third round, Elijah Mitchell is going to be the lead. He's going to get a bulk of the carries. He's going to be the goal line guy. Lance is going to steal some red zone touches too, but Elijah Mitchell is going to be the goal line guy. Everybody else in this offense I'm in on except for Kittle. It's just a little bit too high for me. Some uncertainty with the quarterback play. Debo's going to be fine. I think Brandon Ayuk is very, very sneaky. I like where he's going. If you can get him as your third wide receiver or your fourth as a flex, I don't mind that as all. But George Kittle is going a little early, and it's nothing against Kittle the athlete. I do like him. He's a freak of nature. I just don't typically like to spend that top pick on a tight end. If it's not Pitts and it's not Andrews, I'm kind of out and I'm looking for some value, like maybe a Cole Kmet. Speaking of Cole Kmet, we got one more segment here. More football talk in the next block. Keep her locked. All right, we got about 30 seconds here to bring up round 5 ADP. Tyler, if you have any good stuff here, dude. I love where Marquise Brown is going, right? We have Hopkins here, who's suspended for the first 6 games of the season. He's back with his old buddy, Kyler Murray, Oklahoma. I think where he's going is great. Yeah, I mentioned George Kittle in the last block, right? Just, I want to pass, right? I'd rather take a running back and Elijah Mitchell. I think Mike Williams is a good target. You know, you got Darren Waller after him. Also a bit of a pass. Now the Devontae Adams. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown, pretty good value, even though they got Jameson Williams there. I don't mind maybe taking a shot on Kyler or Jackson. I probably waited out a little bit more. Allen Robinson, we mentioned him yesterday. I think he's my favorite target in this just this round of drafts over the last 6 weeks. What I will say on the way out here is Amari Cooper. Nuh-uh, not for me. Wide receiver 24, not doing it. Fifth round, not doing it. And he's going to continue to fall down draft boards. Deshaun Watson's not going to play. He should not play. Baker Mayfield probably won't play. Jacoby Brissett under center. And let's also talk about Amari Cooper going and playing for a team, a cold weather city, for the first time in his career. Maybe I'm overlooking it, overthinking it a bit, but he played in Vegas, Raiders, Oakland, warm, Dallas, dome, Cleveland, cold, run first offense, questions at the quarterback position. No thanks. We're out of here. Have a good one. Talk to you tomorrow. Cheers.